Hallelujah. Wow. Father, we give you glory and praise for how you refresh us. Lord, you promised that times of refreshing would come from your presence. And Lord, as we receive your goodness, as we receive your love, as we receive your works in our lives, Lord God, let your banner be raised and let your glory be seen in every corner of our lives, Father. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Please put your hands together for the Lord. And also, please take your seats. I'm going to get into the word this morning, big and good. Hallelujah. I was teaching last week, and I want to continue this morning on that theme of contending for our faith, earnestly contending for our faith. Our keynote scripture is Jude, the only chapter, and verse number 3. So if we put that up on the board, but I just want to say shalom. I'm back from Israel. It was a very interesting trip, fascinating in so many ways. It was such a spiritual journey that it really touched my life, and it was just so great to see a nation in bloom. It's amazing what God has done in that land. With all the persecution, with all the affliction that they have suffered, but God is with them. And it's so wonderful to see. It's so wonderful to stand with them in that land. The last time I was there was 1993, September, and so much has happened since then. The nation has moved on so far forward. For those of you who may not know, because you may not be as interested in finance as I am, the Tel Aviv stock market is the number 3 in the world in terms of investment, and it's the 3rd most stable economy in the world now. God's blessing is just, it's all over the people. The land is so beautiful. One of the greatest wines I've ever tasted was from the Valley of Eshkol, where, if you remember in your Bibles, when Moses sent the spies into the land, the Bible says they came back with a cluster of grapes. And that valley that they came back with the grapes from was the Valley of Eshkol. And man, if you're a wine drinker as I am, I don't get drunk with wine, as the Bible says, but I'm free to drink. Jesus drank wine, but that's a teaching for another time. It's like Samsung and Apple, you know, when you go into this thing, it's like, is it too hot or too cold? But it was the most amazing, amazing trip. God was really glorified in the thing, and just to see a nation in bloom. The Bible says that those who bless Israel, God will bless. And so we want to stay on the side of blessing. Amen. Amen. We'll multiply that blessing out to all of us in Jesus' mighty name. So anyway, I did a TV with a TV interview with Israeli National News, and it was broadcasted Friday afternoon, just after I left the country. If you watch it, you'll realize why I'm so glad that I left before I was on that interview. It was quite an amazing interview. My wife said, thank God it wasn't her who was asked those questions, because she wouldn't have had the first clue where to start. And I said, amen. And, well, each to their own call. You know, if you want a geopolitical hammer in your face, call me. If you want to be healed afterwards, call my wife. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going to recap in the word this morning. And the book of Jude, verse 3, it says, beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to all the saints. Now, that name earnestly there, that's not a person's name. That is a state of mind that we must approach the word in. Amen. To do something earnestly. In fact, that's where the word earnings comes from. If you did your job earnestly, then your earnings should be good. Amen. And all the high earners said, amen. Amen. Praise God. You see, it's because you're lazy that you haven't been paid properly. But that's for another time as well. Moving swiftly along. No, what? Well, public servants get the payment at the end. Their pensions are enviable. Praise God. Take it from me. I'm trying to work on my own pension, and Jesus will be glorified. Hallelujah. And we looked at four particular areas that were won on the cross of Jesus Christ. Salvation, number one. Healing, number two. Prosperity, number three. And ambassadorship, number four. And it's very important that we contend earnestly for the faith to achieve those things in our lives. Salvation has been bought for us by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus, the Bible says, once for all time has been shed. We don't have to go back to bulls and goats and rams and pigeons, etc. The blood of Jesus Christ, our sacrificial lamb, has been paid for forever. And it has paid these things: salvation, healing, prosperity, and ambassadorship. Now, I mentioned that according to the third letter of John and the second verse, that the standard of our prosperity and health is no longer up to God. Amen. Amen. The standard of our prosperity and health, according to what the Bible says in 3 John 2, is no longer up to God. Because the Holy Spirit, through John, prays this. He prays, I pray that you may prosper and be in health, not as God wills, but as your soul prospers. So if we can prosper in our soul, in our mind, our will, our emotions, and our imagination, if we can prosper in those areas of our lives, then we can be in health and prosper as our souls prosper. I am a living witness. I am a living testimony to the fact that this is possible in Christ Jesus. My life, if you track my life back through, my wife is here. She's my witness. We've been together how long?
22 years.
Lord have mercy, you'd get less for armed robbery. But anyway, we've been together for that length of time, for 22 years, and she is my witness that my life is that testimony, that I have been prospering and being in health as my soul has prospered. So if God has done it for me, oh yes, Pastor P, but you're a pastor. No, before I was a pastor. In fact, I think that one of the reasons why God made me a pastor was because I had a testimony. Amen. That's the truth. That's the truth. And if you have a testimony, it means that you've been through testing. The Bible says every word of God is tested. So, and that's why when we go into Jude verse 3, he says contend. Because, you see, testing needs a contestant. So my contending is literally my contesting for the promises of God in my life to be yes and amen. Not just nice little words in a book, but experientially. I've been places where people couldn't get to in the natural. I've done things that people couldn't have done. I've achieved things that people couldn't have achieved in the natural by the grace of God that's on the inside of me. Well, where did that uncommon favor get to? The Bible says that these things are by faith. He says, by the uncommon favor of God, we're saved. That's grace. But it's through faith that we do it. And that's why he says in Jude 3, he says, contend for that faith. Because that faith is the key to the blessings of God. My faith is the key to my salvation. That's why the devil, he fights us on our faith. Do you remember Jesus said to Peter, he said, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. He said, and I have prayed for you, not that you might not fail, that your faith might not fail. Because he knew that his faith was greater than him. And that's why God gives us faith. The faith that God gives us is greater than us. That somehow, almost at your weakest moment, you find a new strength. You find a new ability to press through and to get places that you wouldn't have already gone. Because it's your faith, the Bible says, that's the precious thing. God has given us like precious faith. Scripture says that we've all been given a measure of faith. So really, it's what we do with it. It's like muscular structure. We've all been given muscular. I've been hanging around Latin Americans all week, so that's what it is. God has given us muscles. And it's what we do with those muscles Amen. So I could end up like my wife, or I could end up like Junior, depending on what I do with my muscles. High five, my dear. No, it's because I love you and I know you can handle my pressure. Hallelujah. I'm testing the I do's in our marriage vows. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the standard of our prosperity and health, according to the Word of God, the standard of our prosperity and health is in direct relationship to the prosperity of our souls. I love that. Because, and this is another thing that God told me. In fact, I wrote it down. Let me just get it to you exactly as he said it this morning. It's very, very important. He said this. He said, you don't score any points with God by telling him how weak and how poor you are. You don't score any points with God by telling him how weak and how poor you are. Trust me, I've tried. You know, we've sung those songs. We actually changed the words. Sorry, whoever wrote it. But we actually changed those words. When the music fades. You know that song, when the music fades? And there's a verse that goes, though I'm weak and poor. And we change those words to in the midst of your will. Because weakness and poverty isn't going to score any points with God. Do you think God doesn't know our situation? You see, so he puts the responsibility back on us by pushing a scripture like that into our spirit, saying, beloved, I pray above all things. So that's the Holy Spirit praying for us, above all things, that we prosper and be in health as our souls prosper. So the key to our prosperity, the key to our well-being, the key to our health is already on the inside of us. So we've got to learn how to put it to work. Praise God. May God open those secrets to you in Jesus' name. And here's one thing, and this is what I want to minister to you this morning on, because all that was recapping last week. Turn now in your Bibles to James chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse number 17 and verse number 26. James chapter 2, verse 17. It says this, even so, faith. Now, we've got to understand, you see, James, the book of James, his name wasn't originally James. When they translated the King James Bible, they put the book of James in there to honor King James. His name was originally Jacob. He was a brother of Jesus by birth. He was born of Mary after Jesus. Jesus was the firstborn by the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph and Mary continued to have children according to the Bible. One was called Jude, or some think he's Thaddeus the apostle. And the other one was called, the other one was called Jacob, or as they've changed it now, James, right? So this is some Bible history as well thrown in this morning. So now, James chapter 2 and verse 17, this is a guy who grew up with the Messiah. So he's watched him from as small as he was. He's watched Jesus from day one. And that's why the book of James is so potent. It's so powerful because you're looking at firsthand. You know, the Gospels were effectively collected. Matthew, Mark, and Luke were stories collected by Matthew, Mark, and Luke after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? John was written by John the Apostle. So he sat beside the Lord Jesus, etc. In the Last Supper, he was the one leaning all over Jesus, right? And James, or Jacob, as we would say, was a direct blood, half-blood brother of Jesus. So he's saying now, he's watched Jesus growing up. And that's why the lessons in the book of James are so powerful. So James 2:17, it says this, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Now, verse number 26. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. One translation says this, faith without corresponding action is dead. And that's a very powerful principle because, you see, the way to prove that our faith is alive is by acting on it. Right. Have you ever met people and they're all mouth?
Yes.
That's an endemic disease in the body of Christ. Lord have mercy. I mean, we're great at banging tambourines and shouting hallelujah and glory to God and all that. And all that's very important. But you know, there's more to it than this. There is a doing of the word. And that's a concurrent theme all the way through, particularly the book of James, talking about a person who hears the word and who says the word but doesn't do the word. The Bible calls it in the book of James chapter 1, he calls him a double-minded man. Literally, if you look in that Greek, the ancient Greek, it's diesoukos, the man with two souls. Can you imagine how confusing it would be to have two souls? May God deliver us from it. And he says here, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without, and as I like that other translation, corresponding action is dead. And as I was praying this morning, I started to see, you know, my example that I had last week of, Chris and Joel and the two Sandras, right? And we had the demonstration of salvation, healing, prosperity, and ambassadorship. That's the fruits of the cross, as the Lord Jesus showed me, for my gospel. That's my personal gospel. God gave it to me, that everyone under my ministry should experience those four things: salvation, healing, prosperity, and ambassadorship. Hallelujah. And I just thought, wow, I said to myself, so salvation, and in fact, I just want to ask a couple of you, just shout it out, right? Salvation. In that case, if faith without works is dead, I've got faith for salvation, what would be the outworking of my salvation? How does that outwork itself? What would change in me for me to be outworking my salvation? Walk in love? Yep. Gut? Yep, my heart. I'd change my heart, absolutely. What else? Develop humility? Become a forgiver? Huh? How I speak? Absolutely. Yeah. Serving people? Yeah. Yes, walking in humility. Stop stealing. I did. You'd be glad to know. You're safe here. Hallelujah. I'd have been out in the car park trying to undo your car before. That's the God's honest truth. Hallelujah. And I thought to myself, wow, you know what? The first thing I would do is that I would endeavor to live holy. I would endeavor to live holy. And you see, now when I say holy, right, I was raised in the Catholic Church. Here's how my mind goes. Holy would be like an altar boy, walking behind the priest, carrying the thing, and it looks like they're on skates. You know that their head never moves. Was it the same as those of you who grew up in those churches? And I knew a guy, his name was Stephen. I went to school with him in London, and he used to be an altar boy. Now, the dude was a scallywag from hell, right? And I could never work out. I said to him one day, I said, Stevie, something's wrong here. I said, help me work out, why are you an altar boy and you're living like the devil? He said, oh man, it's a proper scam. He said, number one, he said, the offering plate. They leave the offering plate in the vestry where the priest changes his robes. He said, so we never nick the big stuff. Imagine, this is an altar boy. He said, we never nick the big stuff. He says, it's only, you know, the 50s and the 10p's and stuff. Like, the 20p's didn't exist back then. So the 50p's and the 10p's, and that's that, right? And he said also this. He said, and the communion wine. Imagine. Was that you too? Really naughty boy. Gosh, it's all coming out here. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And he said the communion wine, he said, the priest's a bit old. He said, so as long as you don't nick the bottles from the front, he says, you can drink all you like. I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy. Now, you see, that's what I used to think. When somebody said holy, that's the image I got in my mind, Right? But holy doesn't mean that. The word holy means to cut and to separate. So for the sake of my salvation, there were things when I got saved, I cut myself off from them. I separated myself from them. Because really, we can't call ourselves holy. Only God can call us holy. Only God knows really whether we're holy or not. And that's the God's honest truth. There was a guy, I used to go to a church down on Finchley Road in the early 90s. And there was a guy, his name was David. And he used to be, he was all like, you know, people used to say, oh, he's very humble, this guy, because of the way he would walk. And, you know, he'd always have his head bowed and he'd be pretending to be praying in tongues. And then, so I watched the guy. I thought, you know what, I really want to be holy. So maybe this guy is going to be my example or anything like that. And then I saw him, every newcomer to that church, he would ask them if he could borrow a fiver. And they'd have like 30, 40 newcomers a week. I mean, the guy must have been just making a living from bumming money. Please, can you lend me £5? Please, can you lend me £5? Please, can you? In fact, some of you, you probably gave him a fiver yourself. And that from then on, I thought, you know what? I need to know what holiness is. And only in the last 6 months has God given me a clear example of what it is to be holy, to cut and to separate. So when God calls Israel a holy people unto himself, it's because he cut them and he separated them from other nations. Do you see what I mean? Yes. It didn't mean that they suddenly started to glow in the dark. Right? And that's what I thought was holiness. So salvation, I thought, you know what? I'm going to live holy. I'm going to see. And this is where I got it. The Bible talks about proving what is pleasing to the Lord. In the book of Titus. And I set about an endeavor to prove what is pleasing to my Lord. And you know, the number one thing that pleases God is faith. So I thought, wow, I'm going to develop my faith. How do I develop my faith? The kind of faith, you see, that God has given us. There's loads of different types of people of faith in the Bible. David was a man of faith, right? Noah was a man of faith. Daniel was a man of faith. Abraham was a man of faith. Melchizedek was a man of faith. But the type of faith that the Bible says that we should develop is called the faith of Abraham. So it's not the faith of Noah or of Daniel or of Melchizedek. Our faith is the faith of Abraham. So I decided I'll dissect the word, find out what's the faith of Abraham. And I learned these things, right? The faith of Abraham sees things before they happen. The faith of Abraham uses natural markers as points of contact for spiritual developments. So, for instance, God said to Abraham, go out of your tent. He says, look up at the stars, so shall your seed be. In other words, that's a natural marker, right? In fact, the guy who taught us about the whole cell vision, he used to say this. He said, believe God for your multitude. He said, this is one way. He said, look down at the carpet. And see the dots on the carpet. And imagine that you're up in the sky in a helicopter and you're flying over. And these are the heads of the people that you're ministering to. That these flecks in the carpet, that each one of them is at, what's that? That's a natural marker for a spiritual experience, right? And he says to Abraham, he says, look at the ground, look at the dust of the earth. So shall your seed be. So Abraham now, his heart is marked, right? He can't look up without seeing his multitude. He can't look down without seeing his multitude. And that thing developed such a faith on the inside of him that he was able to bypass impotence. He and his wife. So at the age of 100, he had a kid. And at the age of what was she, 90? 99. Wow. Imagine that. 10 years younger. So he was 100 and she was 90. But the kind of faith that God put and injected into his heart enabled him to bypass every natural obstacle. And that's what the scripture says. In hope, he believed against hope that he might become the father of a multitude. Right? So for me, for instance, in the area of prosperity, I hoped against hope that one day I'd be a millionaire. And I am. It's been a journey. It's been a long journey. But you see, so if I can do, what obstacle do we need to overcome? And what kind of faith has God given us to do it? It's the faith of Abraham. It's a faith that sees. It's a faith that uses markers. It's a faith also that speaks. Thus says the Lord, no longer shall your name be Abram, but you shall be Abraham, for a father of a multitude I have made you. Change your name to believe what I'm saying. So you imagine how stupid and ridiculous and pathetic that looked to the people around Abraham. That an impotent man with an impotent wife, a barren wife, at the age of 75, think about that, is changing his name to father of a multitude. Why? Because the faith that he has given him is stronger than any obstacle around him. Hallelujah to Jesus. Do you see why we have to contend for this thing? You imagine the contention for the faith to have a child that Abraham went through. For some of us, it's the contention of faith to get a decent job. We've been told we're worthless. We've been told we'll never amount to much. We've been told, you know, at school, like I was, nice of you to show up. What's your name? Those things that fight against us. And the Bible says, greater is he who is in us than he that's in the world. For some of us, you know, in London, believing God to be able to buy a home is a major, major area of spiritual struggle. Major. And you know what? It always has been. For every generation. I remember sweat running down the back of my leg the first time that I was going to buy a flat, because I knew my signature would be on that mortgage, and I'm a man of my word, and my integrity counts for so much. Sometimes it even winds up my wife. And I remember standing, do you remember that? In Bounds Green in the flat, I had my foot against the wall like that, and I could feel sweat running down the back of my leg because I was going to buy a flat that was £66,000. Hey, should have bought 10 of them, but that's another story. Each to their own conquest. The Bible says we go from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from glory to glory. One of the houses I bought after that, I never even went to see it. They said, how much is it? 205 grand. I said, I'll have it. Why? Because I passed that thing. Amen. You see, we go from faith to faith, right? I'm getting off message now, so I need to get back on. Okay, healing. Okay, healing. How do we contend? How do we contend for the faith to walk in health? Any answers? Say again. Healthy eating. Thank you, Dr. Funke. Absolutely. Sorry? What we say in the air. Oh, yes. Yeah. You make me sick. Remember that expression? You know why so many people suffer from sickness is their big mouth. That's a very good one. I think I'm coming down with a thing. My asthma, my flu, my... Who said it was yours? If confession brings possession, then what on earth are you possessing? Huh? My sciatica, my arthritis. No, it's not. It's the devil's. He's the author of sickness. I love what John Dowie said, that lovely quote. Sickness is the foul, because he's a John Dowie fan as well. Supernatural healing. Sickness is the foul offspring of its father, Satan, and its stepmother, sin. That'll put enmity between you and sickness, right? Sickness is the foul offspring. That's why I forbid any sickness to reside in my body. And my doctor isn't my first point of contact for my sickness. The blood of Jesus is my first contact. The body of Christ, the communion, is my first point of contact. Thank God for medical science. We've got 10 doctors in the house, but they're not my first port of call. Hallelujah to Jesus. And all the doctors said, see, we'll keep the NHS, that was a lame amen. We'll keep the NHS bill down by God's grace. Here's another one. How do we activate faith for our healing? The Bible says, pray ye one for another that you may be healed. Isn't that interesting? So you can pray for somebody. If you've been suffering a particular ailment in a particular area, you can pray for somebody who's been suffering the same ailment, and chances are God will heal you through that. Isn't that good? He's the God of sowing and reaping, right? Given it shall be given unto you. That's not just money. Amen. Amen. Any other answers? Come on.
Exercise.
Thank you, sir. Bible says with long life, he shall satisfy us and fullness of days.
Regular exercise.
How many times a week? Yes. I can feel it getting warmer and warmer in this house. Praise God. Turn up the heat there, guys. Praise God. Diet. We can't eat what we like. The last Burger King I had was last year. And dude, trust me. Me and Burger King have been good friends. Praise the living God. So these are ways that we can outwork. What am I talking about? You see, just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Faith without corresponding action is dead. Okay, let's move on. Prosperity. How do we prosper? Hard work. The hand of the diligent will be made rich. Amen. Yeah. Giving. Given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour into your bosom. Stewardship. Good. That's a very good. You're getting all the right answers today, my love. 6 points. Oh, and she got let off her parking fine, by the way. Do you remember that? Yeah. I told everyone I'd repent, so I repent. Here's a good one. Remembering the poor. Amen. In fact, if you push back to that verse number 17 in James 2, James 2 verse number 17, and if you flip back once we're there, James 2, 17, that is the end of a little sentence that James, or Jacob really, made in the Bible. Look at verse 14, because this is where he starts. He says, what use is it, my brothers, if somebody says he has faith but has no works? Can that faith save him? 15. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Now, here's the most important thing, is spirit-led giving. Because if people know, and it's human nature, right? They're saying right now that food banks have never been more popular. Of course, it's free food. Hello? I've even had food bank food. Not because I asked for it, it was because there was some left over and they gave it to me. That's just the way it is. I'm not, but people, you scrounger. Look, that's just the way it is. It's like saying, right, anyone who's poor, free money will be given out here at 3 o'clock. You're going to have a queue around the block, right? It's human nature. And this is what people can become dependent on you. And this is where giving to the poor and being led by the Holy Spirit in your giving to the poor is so important. Because really, there's poor people. The Bible says there's a man who looks rich and isn't. There's a man who looks poor and isn't. He says, so you can't discern by the natural mind whether a person is rich or poor. You can't do it. In fact, I heard somebody once, he said that he's got a pair of shoes that he wears when he's going to preach in rich churches to make him look poor so that they try and give him more in the offering. Yeah. Yeah. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's not living by faith. That's living by manipulation. And somebody said to me once, you know, you shouldn't wear your best clothes when you're going to Africa. You're making a mistake. I said, excuse me. I said, I'm not dressing for anyone except my God. I want to wear the finest, in Jesus' name. I don't live by some Osofu's giving. I live by my giving. Amen. Hallelujah to you. May God give you revelation on that. So the answer really is follow God with your money. God will show you where to put it. It's a great key. Here's another one in terms of prosperity. Follow God with your career. This thing came to me this morning. I just got a shock this morning as I was studying out this message. And I thought to myself for a second, I said, wow, imagine if I hadn't taken that step of faith when the Holy Spirit called me into full-time ministry in October 96. Dude, I had the cushiest job in the world. I used to finish by 2 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. I was breaking all kinds of records in terms of revenue generation and rates of return and all sorts of stuff. We went, in fact, our honeymoon was paid for by the bank I worked for. All sorts of stuff. I flew the Concorde simulator down in Bristol. I learned how to fly a helicopter. I burnt the tires off a Porsche. I went first class to France on Eurostar. We went business class to Thailand and just had fun. It was just amazing. All paid for by your overdraft. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. I want to stir you all to be debt free in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's another one. Bless Israel. The Bible says if we bless Israel, God will bless us. I intend to be a blessing. I've been praying about, Father, show me how. One of the things that we're going to do as a church, 1% of our annual income is going to be invested in Israeli government bonds. 1%. And the dividends will be reinvested, just like that, just so that we can plow money in to bless the nation of Israel. Well, you sound very excited. But anyway, we'll carry on. Regardless, praise the living God. If we bless Israel, God will bless us. Watch, when some of you get contracts, you think, what, how on earth did I get this job? You look around you and you think, whoa, how did I get here? And I was thinking about this morning. And I got very afraid. I thought, wow, if I hadn't have taken that step of faith when God called me to, because everything we do is by faith or it's by failure. If I hadn't have done it, Lord have mercy, where would I have been now? The banking industry collapsed spectacularly in 2007. Shares that were worth, £10 each ended up being worth 29 pence each. That's a catastrophic collapse. That's a 99% destruction of value. Wow. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. May you be led by the Spirit of God in your career. May consultancies and opportunities open up like never before in Jesus' mighty name. Last one. We'll close here. Ambassadorship. How do we move forward in our ambassadorship? How do we contend for our faith, for ambassadorship? Answers? Step up in faith, absolutely. Good answer. Becoming confident, sir? Speak the gospel, great. Show love, absolutely. Here's one that God gave me this morning. He said this. He said, don't devalue yourself. Don't devalue yourself. And I thought of the young single ladies who are effectively, they're reaching the age where they want to be married and they are, you know, out there for a husband. And as a result, they can be exploited by the fly guys. And I thought of how we could devalue ourselves as a result. I thought of the young men who are single, who are yet to be married, who probably want to taste the wine of love without the commitment. Let's just put it this way. That's a devaluation of ourselves. God has made us in a certain way. He's made us in his image and after his likeness. So we are like little versions of him in the earth. So we have to steward that right. Amen. Praise God. Work on your self-worth. It's another one God gave me. Work on your self-worth. And I'll close with this story. I went to, this is when God was dealing with me, 1995. I went down to Bond Street to a store called Gianni Versace. You remember Gianni Versace? And it used to be a corner store on old Bond Street. I walked in there and the Lord said to me, now this is when I really hardly had two pennies to rub together. The Lord said to me, he said, I want you to buy a tie in this place. So I thought, okay. I went round looking at the cheapest tie I could find. 120 quid for a tie. Dugbe, go on, that's expensive.
Go on.
you've done it enough to be expensive. God was teaching me something to completely blow my mind in the area of value. Do you remember that L'Oreal? What's the L'Oreal strap line? You know L'Oreal? Right. Right. You see, your self-worth, if we move forward into our ambassadorship properly, what the Bible says we are, kings and priests unto our God, then we'll never devalue ourselves. Really and truly, the finest things won't be enough to dress who we are on the inside. May God give us understanding. And I pray that through this two-part series, you contend for that faith, whether it be for your salvation, for your healing, for your prosperity, or for your ambassadorship, that God will drive you forward into this great thing that he has given us called faith. Can we stand to our feet and thank God for his word? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, we give you praise and honor that you have made us in your image and likeness. We give you praise and honor, Father, that you yourself have called us the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, the lenders to many nations and not the borrowers. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, firstly, forgive us where we have devalued ourselves. Forgive us, Lord God, where we haven't contended for the faith that you have given us, the faith for our salvation, the faith for our healing, the faith for our prosperity, and the faith for our ambassadorship. Lord God, we purpose in our hearts that we will put your word to work. We will find a place for it in our hearts. A heart that's free of ignorance, a heart that's free of offendability, a heart that's free of distraction, a good and understanding heart that can contain your word, where your word can sprout and grow up and produce fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. First the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. We give you glory, Lord God, because the word that you have given us is a living and active word that is able to come alive and produce the fruit that you have called it to produce. We thank you for it, Father. We give you the praise and honor and adoration and glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Put your hands together for the Lord this morning.